Is it on now? I said, you won't go any higher than your honor. Amen. In every area. So why do you think I chose Micaiah to come up here? Because she honors the office that I'm in, and she honors the holy desk. Why do you think God supplies all your needs? Because you honor him. And that's the way it works. So if your needs aren't being met, check yourself out. Praise the Lord. Let's go to Mark 5, verse 21. God is good. Thank you, Jesus. We have people on their way out. Spring break. Our youth have left the building, and they are in Huntsville. Are they in Huntsville? Is that where they are? I think. Where? Some town. Huh? They're going there. They're right now. They're in Fort Worth, I think.
And, go to Hunt, Texas.
Yeah, I don't think it's Hunt. Praise the Lord, but we won't argue about it. Glory to God. All right. Hallelujah. God is good. Are you there? Mark 5:21. You know, before we start, let's pray over your spring break and those around you who are on spring break. Father, in the name of Jesus. We covered this in the morning prayer, but once again, I say over those that weren't there, I thank you for a good, safe, quality spring break all around them in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when Jesus had crossed over by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed, and she will live." So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Verse 25, you there? Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better and grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately. I said, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Amen. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction." All right, so what we see here is Jesus had been on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. He had been over in the Gadarenes, and he had then delivered the madman of Gadara. Y'all know the story. So he comes back over to Capernaum. Capernaum is Jesus' headquarters. This is where he lives. This is where he works. This is where he carries out his ministry. And so when he gets there to the shore, Jairus, who is a ruler of the synagogue, this is a big guy in the synagogue. He's a big Jew, an important person. He comes up to Jesus and says, "You have to come to my house because my daughter is dying, and you have to come now." Okay, so he's walking with Jairus. They're on a path. They're going somewhere, but all these people are thronging him. They're all over him. And so this woman who'd been suffering for 12 years shows up. And so there's so much here to empower us. There's so much here to encourage us. There's so much here to inspire us. We all understand struggles. Yeah. We all do. Yeah. And many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. Right. You know, you live in this world, so there's things that happen. But here we see exactly how to come out of the struggles. She came out of the struggle. So let's look at the woman. So the crowd's waiting for him. Everything's going on there. Jairus needs him. The crowd's thick. Everyone wants to be with Jesus. Her journey of healing was that she'd been to every doctor, and whether it was a legitimate cure or not, nothing worked, and all of her money now is gone. She spent everything she had. So Jesus is like her last hope here. This is going to be her last hope, and she's got to have him. And so she creeps up on him. She's sneaking up there. She's crawling through the crowd, believing that if she touched his clothes, if she just touches clothes, she would receive healing. And she did. She did. So as soon as she receives this healing, then Jesus, he just stops right there in his tracks, and he says, "Who touched me?" And so, and then the woman is kind of gets a little fear on her, you know, and she's kind of ashamed that she snuck up and through everybody and just grabbed his prayer shawl. And so she comes forward there, and then Jesus just gave her his attention. Mm-hmm. Jesus responded positively to her. She's coming on up there telling her that her faith has made her whole. So I just want to go over in these moments, what are the characteristics of this woman? What actually happened? And maybe some of these, you know, we all have our basic teaching on the woman with the issue of blood, how she heard, how she said, how she acted, because that's what faith does. But listen to some of these things. First, she was a risk taker. Amen. She was a risk taker. Now, risk taking has shown up in the last three or four sermons. Have y'all noticed that? Risk-taking keeps coming up to us from God, taking risk. Now, we're not talking about you getting on top of the building and trying to parachute with a handkerchief or something, like we did when we were kids. But we are, there may be some things that you wouldn't even call them a risk. We'll talk about that in a minute, but I just want you to be thinking about that, because risk isn't just that you took a job and you didn't know if you knew how to do it, but you did it. As entrepreneurs, we always say yes and figure it out. You know, that's what we would always say. But there may be some underlying things there that you haven't thought about. We'll talk about that in a minute. Secondly, she was imperfect, but she was unwavering in her faith. Right. She may not have had it all together, but she was trusting in that power. She was trusting in Jesus. And then the third thing is that she was persevering, because that crowd was no ordinary crowd. I mean, it's thick. She's pushing her way through. She could have been crushed to death. It was that kind of crowd. It's going to be busy. And then fourth, her faith pushed fear out. After she touched Jesus and he turned around, the scripture says she came trembling. Says that. She you know, she wasn't the most courageous person, but she overcame the fear, and she let faith lead. Amen. I hope you're getting this. So what do we learn from her? Well, like I said, first of all, we learn that faith takes risks. That's what faith is. It'll say something even though it doesn't exist. It'll call for something that doesn't exist. You'll do something even though it looks like something couldn't happen. So, yeah, Lord, I got that. Yeah, okay. So she was not supposed to be there. She's someone in her condition, according to the law there, she's not supposed to be out in a crowd. And so she was considered unclean due to the issue of blood. So she could have been stoned to death. So she's really taking a chance here. But she persisted to the extent that she was willing to risk everything. She's going to risk her life. And you know, the truth is here, the only thing she had left to lose was her life. And there wasn't much left of her living because of this illness. And so here she goes. So listen, I want to say something to you. If you find yourself in a desperate situation like this woman was, maybe safety isn't where your breakthrough lies. Yeah. Maybe comfort zone isn't where your breakthrough lies. Maybe staying back isn't where your breakthrough lies. Maybe you need to take a risk. Maybe you need to go ahead and open your mouth. Maybe you need to check some things out about yourself. Maybe you need to go ahead and decide to do some things that you know that God wants you to do. Because safety doesn't always bring that breakthrough. You got to put some skin in the game. Right. Amen. Take a risk. Step out on faith. And then the next thing we see here that we learn from her is that true faith arrests God's attention. When Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" the disciples thought that this was a ridiculous question. I mean, here's the crowd. Everybody's touching him. In fact, the word here, we look here, it describes that Jesus was almost being suffocated. I mean, they were on him. It was pretty bad, you know. They weren't lifting him over the crowd, you know. He was down in it, and it was close. So as he walked, he could hardly breathe because there were people pressing around him. So how then did he discern this particular touch? Because everybody's touching him. How did he discern that? Well, if you do a word study right here, you find out what happens. Because the word touch here is the word hapto in the Greek. And it means to cling to. So when Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" he wasn't referring to someone just putting their hand on him. In fact, the story didn't even say that she touched him. She touched his clothes. Yet he felt something pulling on him. He said, "Who touched me?" But actually what he's really saying is, "Who clung to me with their whole being and unwavering faith? Who's wanting something from me right now?" I can sense it because the virtue, the empowerment to act, the anointing is going out from me right now. Someone's calling on me. Someone's calling on my power. Praise the Lord. A lot of people had their hands on Jesus, but not everybody was getting something. So she evidently was the only one who truly touched Jesus. Amen. She touched him. Let me say it like this. She reached God more deeply. She reached him more deeply than anyone else in the crowd. Jesus did say that he knew someone touched him because power had gone out of him. Wow. Power had gone out of him. So the faith in her connected with the heavenly power that cannot but honor authentic faith. Wow. They just go together. Yes. You start giving authentic faith, you're going to get some authentic anointing. You're going to get the power. Remember how we've been talking lately? This keeps coming up too. That what we do will bring reciprocation. Yes. If you buy some land, that land will serve you. Yes. If you buy a car or get a car, it will serve you. If you're pulling on the anointing will serve you. Mm-hmm. Whatever is going on will serve you. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's good, isn't it? So, the next thing then is that we also learn is God's attention to your faith is not divided. It's not divided. When God gives us his attention, he's not multitasking. How many times, and I have to spank myself for this, but somebody will be talking to me and I'll be going, "Yeah, uh-huh, okay, yeah, yeah, uh-huh, yeah, uh-huh." Put it down and listen to people. Amen. Praise the Lord. But God's not doing that. He's going, oh, hold on, woman with the issue. Deb Fields calling. Let me see. No, full attention. Full attention. He was giving her full attention. A faith as deep and unwavering as this woman's not only earns God's attention, but it also secures his undivided attention. So Jesus is totally focused on her. Wow. He said, "Okay, you touch me. What do you have here?" And so after she identified herself, he zoomed in on her. Yeah. He just zoomed in. He was going to pay attention to her. Now, and he's listening intently to her story, and he listened as she described the shameful, the disgraceful, the 12 years, the no money, the loneliness, the depression, everything. He's hearing all this. It had to have been said because the writer picked it up. Okay? And despite all the crowd, despite all the people all around, it seemed that no one else existed in those moments. Just her. She had the need. She was pulling. He was focused on her. I just think that's so great. So there's no detail about how long it took for her to actually tell him all this. But he stood there and he stayed focused and he listened to her. Can I remind you that he sees you? He hears you. He loves you. He knows what you're going through. And he has an answer to get you out. He has an answer for your children. He has an answer for your finances. He has an answer for your life. He absolutely has an answer. He has an answer for the next step in your life.
Yes.
Those of us that are over 60, 65, you know, in America, 65 is called the time you retire. 65. But in the Bible, 65 is when they started their next ministry, when they started their next job. You may have retired from this, but you went on to this. Amen. So God is ready for you. He's ready for your next phase. Whatever the next phase is, whether you're 65 or 35 or 40 or whatever, he's ready for your next chapter. You just got to get in it with him. That was free. All right. So at this moment, his daughter needed him, and he was fully present for her. He was fully present. Yes. And I want to remind you that he's headed to a place where a little girl's about to die. And yet he was focused on this little girl, this lady, because life and death were in his power. He said, don't concern yourself. We're going to deal with this right here, and then we'll move on to the next thing. And, of course, he did, and that little girl lived. Well, he raised her from the dead, actually. Praise the Lord. So the next thing is that God works with word faith and faith in action. God works with word faith and faith in action. The woman had her words going in the right direction. She didn't say, I heard Jesus is over there in Capernaum, and I'm pretty close. I'm over here at McDowell, so I'll walk across the street over here, and I'll see if Jesus can do something. Mm-hmm. Just go see, you know, maybe it'll work for me. No. She said, if I can get there and I can get close enough, I'll be healed.
Yes.
Now, how many times have you heard testimonies of that? If I can get to that meeting, if I can get to that meeting, if I can just get to church, if I could just get there, if I can just get there, I'll be healed. I've heard that for the last 40 years, and I've watched people go through Gloria Copeland's line, Benny Hinn's line, lots of people's lines, and their testimony will be, I just knew that if I got here, I just knew that if I got here, I would be healed. What is that? That's faith in action. That's faith in action. That's moving. And getting your words right. Not, I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't know if God will heal me. I don't know what's going to go on. But he might heal me today. Faith says he will, because he already has.
Amen.
Amen. So she heard what Jesus could do. We've heard what Jesus has done. Amen. He's healed you already. You just have to tap into it. So she's saying that if I can only touch the hem of his garment. So she acted in faith by taking a risk. And so she's moving in on this. God works through point of contact. You've noticed we've talked about that here. Point of contact. We really learned that from Brother Roberts. That when you're going to release your faith on someone, you don't just go up and flap your hand on them because you heard that laying on of hands does something. There's no power in that. But when you release your anointing, like that. Something happens. See, it's point of contact. Okay, well, what's the point of contact here? Well, he had on a prayer shawl. And they have all the little blue tassels on them. And so she's going to at least grab that because she believes that there's power, just like there was power in Paul's clothes and Peter's clothes. And it said their shadow. It wasn't their shadow. It was the anointing around them.
Right.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So she sees that. So she's going to do point of contact. So she's not just going to go, if I could just see Jesus. If he could just. No, she's like, I'm going to grab this. And when I do, I'm going to get that anointing. And then isn't that what he said? What just happened? The virtue flowed out of me. He felt the power flow out of me.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know where you are in life, but I've been doing this for a long time, and I've been praying for people for a long time. And when people come get in the prayer line, I can tell whether they receive the power or not.
Yeah.
Because I feel it go.
Yes.
Sometimes I feel it just stop. But that's the person's choice.
Right.
See, you have to make point of contact. You have to pull on that anointing yourself. You have to receive it.
Yes.
That's the best way to say it. So you release your faith on purpose. You use it like a tool. Listen, here's another point of contact. Your tithe is your point of contact.
Yes. Oh, wow.
Your tithe is your. Yeah, think of that stake in the ground. Nuh-uh, I'm a tither.
That's right.
I'm a tither. I have tithers' rights.
Yes.
What are tithers' rights? Well, first of all, your window of heaven is open. The windows of heaven are open.
Right. Yes.
But over you, it's open.
Yes.
And the devourer is rebuked on any area. Over your kids, over your kids, over your kids. The devourer is rebuked over you.
That's good.
I'm going to take a minute here and say something that Ronnie and I were talking about. She was so right about what she was saying. She said someone was questioning her about the prosperity preaching and stuff like that. And someone said to her, well, you tithe and do and give and all that, but I don't see that you're rich. And she said, are you kidding me? And she started naming off all the blessings on her children and the beautiful home she lives in. And the great man she's married to. You can give me $20 for that one. And I'm kidding. There's that prosperity message coming out. No. You know what I'm saying. But she started naming off all these things. And when she was preaching it to me, I was thinking, church, it's not always just in what's coming in.
Yeah.
It's the debt freedom that does, and so it's not going out.
Yeah.
And it's the stuff not breaking because the devourer is rebuked. And it's the stuff on sale. And it's the power you can use. Amen. I don't think I've told this in a long time, but I have a coat story that there was this beautiful, what was that guy's name? Peter Nygaard. He had this great selection that they would have at Dillard's, and there was this beautiful coat that I wanted, which I haven't worn in a long time. I guess it's time to give it away. But just this beautiful coat, and it was way up in the hundreds because his stuff then was real popular, and I was like, that's good, but I don't want to pay that for that. And so we just went over there, and I just talked to it. And I said, you stay right here. And they're going to drop the price. And do you remember how much the coat was? Several hundred dollars up.
Yeah, it was like
$369. Maybe, yeah, well, close to $500, I think. So I didn't really want to pay that for it. Now it doesn't seem that much, but this was 15, 20 years ago. So I just talked to it. And I said, you probably remember. You remember the coat. And I was like, nope. I ended up going in there and getting that coat for $125. It waited for me, and they re-tagged it.
Good.
That's tithers' rights.
That's
All of that is tithers' rights. All of those things. It's a good deal. It's favor. It's increase. And sure, it's finances. But I think a lot of times we don't weigh out all the blessings that we have because we honor God.
Wow.
It's about honor, church. Amen. So that would also be your point of contact. And, of course, laying on of hands is point of contact. Number six, when Jesus heals, it's complete. It's complete. All that she had been through made her an outcast. Think about that. No money, no friends, no synagogue attendance, no romance, maybe no family. Because, you know, she can't be around people. But here, Jesus calls her daughter. He called her daughter to indicate to her that she'd been restored. For so long, she was just this outcast all the time, defined by her disease. Her self-worth was probably just trampled on, you know. The isolation probably caused her to feel like she's invisible in society. And then Jesus assured her that, hey, you belong to me, daughter. You're mine. You're my covenant kid. You belong to me. And so before that, she might not have had anyone to cover her, but now she did. She might not have had anyone to defend her, but now she does. She might not have had anyone who even wanted her, but right now, Jesus wanted her openly. And so her physical healing, coupled with her newfound identity, which is so important to understand who you are in God. Mm-hmm. It's, church, the rough thing about a religion is that it's always so doing, doing, doing. Mm-hmm. But it needs to be you being a human being, not you being a human doing. Mm-hmm. When you are a child of God, then you do certain things. But you need to have that first. You need to understand who you are. When you understand who you are, there's no fear in being who you are. You're a child of the greatest one in the universe. And so if you're a child of the greatest one in the universe, you'll take risk. When I say take risk, once again, and I want to talk about that just a little bit, you get beyond fear and greed and all those things, and you're willing to let go and trust God. That's what the tithe is doing, church, trusting God. That's what giving is doing. It's trusting God. Going to church is trusting God. Serving in church is trusting God. Loving people that maybe don't love you like you want them to. That's trusting God. You trust God for people. Amen. Y'all receive this today?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So here she has this brand new identity, and so now she's going to, you know, have social interaction. She's going to get to start going to church or synagogue, and then she could get a job. She could get married. She might even have some kids because she's whole. I mean, her whole life's back. And then there's more because he said your faith has healed you, or your faith has made you whole. But then he says this. He says, go in peace. But you know what the original says? Go into peace.
Oh.
Go into peace. That's what the original says. It says, go into peace. So this final command is translating a little bit different than we thought. It meant that she not only received her physical healing, but also meant that she received this wholeness, rest, and now prosperity can come up. Because when you get well and you feel good, you can get up off of that thing and go do something and make some money and or whatever, or at least get up and pray and believe God for it. Amen. You start moving. That's right. You take a step. You start. You risk. You move forward. When you feel good, you can do that. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so here she is. She's got a new life, and she's going into peace. She's going into shalom, rest, and prosperity. So Jesus saw her shame. He brought her to honor, and he did it in front of everyone. Now, are you ready for that? Are you ready to touch the hem of his garment, come in, take a risk, and watch Jesus bring you into peace right in front of everyone? Because that is what he wants to do. He wants you back here next Sunday saying, my kid's got healed.
Yeah.
He wants you back saying, my knee's whole.
Yeah.
He wants you back in here saying, my prosperity came in. I got blessed. I got favored. I got this. Why does that matter? Because right in front of everyone, you're proving he's a good God. You're proving that he's on the scene. You're proving that he'll respond. He will answer on approach. If you come to him in faith, he will answer on approach. And he will say yes. And it's up to you to keep that going until you see the manifestation of it. Hey, when you want to get married and you go and you propose to your bride-to-be, then they always say this, she said yes, right? Uh-huh. Well, here's the thing. When you go and you ask the bridegroom for something, Jesus, he's saying yes. So what do you do from there? What do you begin to prepare? If you're going to get married, you begin to prepare for getting married. And sometimes it's a big task, right? Yeah. Well, start preparing for your manifestation. Prepare for your manifestation. Be ready for it. Don't quit and say, well, I can't do this, can't do that, because what if I don't? What if they don't? No, be ready for it. Mm-hmm. Be ready. Be ready for what God has for you. Now, here's where your faith wants to go. Immediately.
Amen.
Immediately.
Yeah.
The blood dried up. Immediately. Amen. Now, you probably understand that the blood dried up immediately, which gave her the power to get out and move forward.
Mm-hmm.
So the other stuff had to come along to manifest, but the wholeness was already all there, you had to walk that out a little bit. So you get it right now. It immediately comes. Walk it out. Walk it out. Okay, I'm whole now. Now we can do this, now that. Now we're going to do that. You can just move forward. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. All right. So... now let me just remind you of one thing here before we close. Finally, this, and this may send you on a loop, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Jesus didn't really do the action of her healing. He said her faith made her whole. Her faith did it. In other words, the Word of God, Jesus, the Anointed One, is walking there, and her faith touched his power, which brings a catalyst and caused the blood to dry up.
Praise God.
It stopped it. Her faith touched it, but her faith made her whole. That's what he said. He didn't say, I'm glad you came. Now, he gave her all that attention. He said good things to her. But he said this. He said, your faith made you whole. You did it. You took what was on me, and you received it on you.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There's just so much we can take from this woman. So, her faith made her whole. Her action... Or we could say this, her action on what she knew was on him. What she knew was on him. She acted on the knowledge that she had what was on him, which was Holy Spirit, right? And that brought manifestation. So what about us then? Well, first of all, we can have courage to take godly steps of faith. She did, and she made. And look. We're all here in the synagogue today, or the church anyway, where we can already come out in public.
Yes.
Most of us didn't have to crawl under anything to get here. Jesus is here, and Jesus is the healer. Most of us are not broke today.
Thank you,
Jesus. If you are, you know what to do about it. It starts, he's already given you what he needs to give you. You need to do what you need to do. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But... So we can have the courage, and then we have strength.
Mm-hmm.
She had strength. You have strength to push back all the difficult situations to access your miracle. You'll have to push past them. You know, some people stayed home today because they didn't feel good. When you learn to push past that, the devil will leave you alone. Deb always says, people that miss church pretty soon won't miss church.
Amen.
They just start writing it off after they're gone for so long.
Mm.
They just get over it. But there are people right now at home that don't go to church because something hurts or something doesn't feel good, or they can't trust God to get here for their health. Amen. But if you push through and tell the devil no, and you show up anyway, and you give anyway, and you tithe anyway, and you serve anyway, and you worship anyway, and you do it anyway.
Yeah.
Sounds like a song. The idea, because you are already who you are, the idea is to get the enemy off of you. And he is a creature of pride. Give him a shove. When he sees he can't win, he'll start backing off of you. And besides that, you have the authority. You're authorized to kick him off of you and everybody around you, sitting here and here today at least. Now, some people want the demonic force that bothers them. I know that. But I don't think it's any of us. I don't think it's anybody that comes to this church. I think we all want to be free. Amen. And we're authorized to tell the devil no. But one of the ways you're going to do it is in your action. She could have sat back at her house and said, well, if he comes by here, if I could just pick him up on Facebook today. I love y'all out there. But get to the house when you can. As soon as you can, get to the house. Get to your church house or get to the house. By the way, hi, Tina. You're a blessing to us. Just want to say hi to you. It's just so important. You have a strength for breakthrough.
Amen.
Amen. Me too.
Amen.
Me too. So we should seek the knowledge of things. Now, here's the one I want you to look at. And this applies to everyone here and everyone listening. We should seek the knowledge of things that might be standing between us and our faith in God. What are those things? Maybe some erroneous teachings or some erroneous beliefs, right? Mm-hmm. Look for those things that might be coming between you and him. She could have had a lot of things. They'll kill me if I go out there. I don't feel like it. It's never worked before, blah, 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 blah. But all those things got put behind. So I'll just say today, today's your day.
Amen.
Today is your day. Just go ahead and push forward on today, because today is the day that everything can change. And one of the erroneous things will be that you're blaming everybody else. Well, they don't give us what we need at the church. Well, they don't. Well, da 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 da. Well, they don't do this for us and don't do that for us. Well, you might want to ask. You'd be surprised what we do when people ask. Amen. But here's the other thing. You know, if it's always going to be somebody else's fault, you're never going to arrive where you want to be. You're never going to. It's always going to be that victim mentality. Well, if they would have done it. Well, if the teacher was better. Well, if the people were better. Well, I know my child wouldn't have stolen that if the store would have been watching them. I think they learned that at your house.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. I know it sounds dumb to us, but, I mean, people think like that. So we can have daily peace,
yes.
And we can have assurance of our personal salvation in Jesus. We can know we're okay. And here's the thing. He'll stop and take time out for you.
Yes.
I was just talking, and I was cleaning up my closet and just talking and everything. I was saying, Lord, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And all of a sudden he said, I'm here, and I'm not going anywhere. And I'm like, yes, Lord. I mean, he'll just get in it with you.
Yeah.
He's not quitting on you, church.
Amen.
He's not quitting on you. You're getting better and better and better,
yes.
And better,
yeah.
And better and better and better. You're just getting better.
Yeah.
I got a new thing coming.
Amen.
You get something new's coming.
Hallelujah.
Something good's coming. People think you're not prospering, they might want to look again. They're blind because they can't see what prosperity is. It is the ability of God to bless. And if you can bless people, you're doing good. Look, Pastor Deb brought, well, it's right here so I could show you. I don't know who they're going to, so don't. Lisa gets them today. Woo, Lisa! How many of these have we harvested?
Over 500 already.
500 asparagus. What do you call them? Spears. And so she gives them away to everybody, and I think she and Lisa were talking on the phone, so Lisa's next. And this is giving.
Amen.
This is a blessing.
That's right.
Now, we like them at our house, but they're not all for us.
Right.
It's not all for us. So, now, I always gave Miss Pauline my first batch of taters.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to choose somebody else. Maybe Ron might get them. We'll see. All of those things. Walking up here and moving the pulpit. That's giving.
That's right.
Yes, it is.
Serving.
Yes, it is.
Saying amen while I'm preaching. That's amen. Serving.
That's right.
It is.
Amen.
This is your new day. This is your new day. And I'm going to raise you up into new places and call you like I called Samuel. I'm going to call your name and call your name and call your name and give you what I need to give you to take you to next levels. And you'll hear from me very often, saith the Lord. So take it all in, digest it, and I'll move your feet for you to the very things I want you involved in.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right, now, so just here before we close, I think the biggest lesson here that we particularly need to take, there's so much to highlight here, but I think one of the biggest things for us is this risk-taking and getting past all the things that are slowing us down.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're all a bit guilty of that. We all of us, we all can go to another level.
Right.
And so, and you say, well, I won't. Well, then everybody but you, but me and some of the others. But there's something, the Bible says that when the cloud of witnesses is watching us, that we're to throw off everything that weighs us down. Remember?
Yeah.
That's called parasite drag. That's parasite drag. And so y'all know what runners run in. They wear hardly any clothes when they run because they don't want anything to block them. Right? Am I right? So in your spiritual walk, you got to get rid of the parasite drag. And I'm going to tell you, number one is ungratefulness. It's ungrateful. That's number one. I caught myself in it. And I repented this morning because I told Deb, I'm going to talk to you. I need to do dialogue because I feel like I'm emotional about something. So I was already taking the correction, but I didn't realize it kind of turned into complaining. And I was telling her, I'm tired of fighting the wind and all this stuff on the garden. And, you know, there's got to be a better way, you know. And then after a little while, I was like, yeah, you just complained about it. And God gave you that garden. So I went to the courts of heaven and commanded a crop failure over that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but you know, that's where the devil comes in.
Yeah.
That's where he finds a road in and he'll make it. Well, you ought to just throw it all away. You don't need to do it. Just quit. Don't even do one. Don't, you know, just don't, you don't need to do that. Just don't do that part of your life. Just let the weeds grow. Just don't care. By the way, the yard out there looks very nice. Thank you for mowing. Praise the Lord. But that's how he is. So it's in that complaining. You want to shut that down quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Shut it down quick. Go to the courts of heaven and command a crop failure over it.
Yes.
Yeah, well, how do I do that? Just what I said. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I come to the courts of heaven where the accuser of the brethren comes.
Mm-hmm.
And he's saying that my hedge is down. Because you're like, well, I thought the devil couldn't get to us. Church, he's like a roaring lion. And he goes around. He's the legalist. God isn't. God loves you. God's not going, you've been bad, bang. If that's not God, God did bang on Jesus for you. Jesus paid for you. But the devil is the one that tries to come in and be a legalist and make you pay. And if you start agreeing with him with your words, you're going to pay. So all you have to do is in your prayer life is go to the courts of heaven. He's there. Read it in Revelation. It says that the accuser of the brethren was accusing us day and night. Mm-hmm. And so in that court of heaven, God's the judge. That's in your favor. Jesus is your lawyer. That's in your favor. And you plead the blood and everything's erased. That's a crop failure. We say crop failure. If that's over your head right now, that's because words are seeds, and when seeds are planted, they bring a harvest of a crop. And if it's complaining words or doubtful words or fearful words, you have a harvest you don't want. And he's going to start harvesting that. I thought I'd just back up for folks that don't know our language. Amen. So that's all we have to do. You got a mouth? Go in there. I command a crop failure over that. I said, Lord, you forgive me? I know you do. He does. Thank you for forgiving me, Lord. Yeah, amen. Well, I don't know if we're going to have enough this year. You want to command a crop failure over that?
Amen.
Well, God never answers my prayers. You want to command a crop failure over that? Because he does.
Yes, he does.
Praise God.
Praise.
That was free. We have to remember these things. You got to do it all the time.
Yes.
You're going to have to
yes.
be a Christian every day, church.
That's right.
Every day. All right. So we can have that daily peace. So, but I think just in remembering that we need to check out who we are and who we belong to. This is a loving, caring father.
Amen.
This is not someone who's a God that's, if you're bad, he's going to be mean to you tomorrow. That is not scripturally correct. Jesus has paid. God is in love with you. He loves you. You can just be like John the Beloved and say, I'm the one Jesus loves. I'm the one Jesus loves. I am. I'm the one Jesus loves. That's what you could be saying, and that's not haughty. That's someone with a lot of faith. John lived a unique life. He understood the love of God, and they couldn't boil him and kill him. They had to put him out on the island, and then the guy who put him out, who is it? What's his name? Starts with a D. Anyway, one of the, yeah. So they put him out. They put him out there on the island. He outlives that guy. And he comes back and into Turkey to Ephesus and starts a church there. They say Mary was with him. Because you remember the scene on the cross? Son, this is your mother. Yeah. And so we don't know where she's buried, but you want to hear something funny? If you go out on the internet, there are people who ask this question, where is Jesus buried?
Yeah.
He's not, people. He rose on the third day. He's in heaven in his body. We're covenant people. We have a loving father. We have the all-knowing Holy Spirit in us right now. He'll tell us what to do right now. So just reach out and touch him. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We're just going to say what we want today. Let's all stand up and you just right there where you are, you tell Jesus what you want. Just tell him what you want. He wants you to have it. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you. Now, if you've already believed you've received whatever it is, just thank God for it. You don't re-ask for it. Father, I thank you for health and healing. I thank you for the prosperity that you've given us and you're going to give us. I thank you, Lord, for influence. I thank you, Lord, that our prayers are answered. I thank you for the great thermostats, the worldwide prayers. I thank you for all of our fathers in the Lord. I thank you for all we have, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to give us everything from wells to barns to paving to whatever's on the list in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that the wind dies down outside in Jesus' name. I thank you that there's no more fires in Texas in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for every wayward child that is not answering the call of God comes back home to the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. Answer your call in the name of Jesus. Answer your call in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just heard the voice of the Lord. He's saying this, I have provided for you, and I will not stop providing for you. But I would say to you that some have been in remission concerning receiving. And so come out of that today and receive from my hand. For you have given, and you have touched me, and you have honored me, and I would like to put forth my hand into your life. So do it. Come out of remission and believe God for your health, your wealth, your sight, your hearing, your bones, your body, your children, your grandparents, your land, your houses, your church, your ministries, your missions, right down to your shoes. 12 people in here, by an act of God, are going to be wearing brand new shoes within the next few weeks as a point of contact that God is going to take steps in your victories. Well, thank you for that, Lord. Yeah. Thank you for it, Lord. So we know 12 people are moving ahead.
Amen. I'm one of them.
You're one of them?
Yes, I am.
Praise the Lord.
I am.
Ronnie says she got a pair coming today. Just be one.
Yeah.
You're like, well, there's a whole lot more than 12 in here. Who's counting? God started with 12, but his numbers will go right up. There's been times when I've been preaching or prophesying and the numbers start going up. Why? Someone in the crowd is taking it. They're taking it. So it'll go 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, receive it, 17, 18, 19, 20. They start receiving it. But it's whatever's moving in the crowd.
Yes.
But for sure, there's 12 people. As soon as I said that, they won't forget. And they're going to believe God for those shoes. At least 12 people or more will remember. And you're going to walk in here going, come on. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for those online. We thank you, Lord, that if it's any of them, that they received that prophetic enactment today, they received their word today. We thank you, Lord, that immediately you answered when we came and touched you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye. So those of you that don't know, Casey, we were with Casey last week. Oh, did we have a time. If you weren't here Wednesday, which many of you weren't, I wrote your name down if you weren't here. Okay. Bobby wrote them down for me. He's here. He was checking you. No, I'm kidding. He was here. But so there was a lady there, and she was in a wheelchair. And I was actually praying over somebody else, and I walked by her. And I said, God wants to heal you. And she had the two prosthesis. Deb always with that word. And so she had two. I didn't know really what was there. But she says, no, I'm good and everything. And so I just put my hand on her head because I just felt like God wanted to heal her anyway. And so then we walked away and everything. Some other things happened. There was a man there that the year before when we were there, 2 years before, he was in a car wreck, and Deb and I prayed for him, and he couldn't walk. He was in a wheelchair, and he got healed. And so he comes running up and gives me a big kiss, and he's a sweet man. And so all these things are happening. I mean, these are some hungry people. They're so hungry, and I mean, they're just pulling it out of me. The first session, people stay for the second session, and they're all, you know, and everything. We just had a marvelous time. But when I got home the next day, Pastor Casey sent me a text, and it said, the girl you prayed for that didn't know that she needed healing, she didn't mention that morning she was going to the doctor to decide what they were going to do about cysts that she had, C-I-S-T-S, cysts that were in her body. And when they went to check her out, they were all gone. Now that's God. She didn't even use her faith on it. I used mine. Because I knew he had something for her. So, I mean, isn't that awesome? God's got it going on, church. And listen, don't listen to all the propaganda that all that's trying to happen out there, and they're trying to stop this and that. The God factor is here. These are the golden years.
Yes.
We're going to get past everything,
right,
and all evil is going to be put down in this, yep, that's going on, and this nation is going to win people to Jesus all over the world.
Yeah.
We're going to see it all over the world. All over the world, the Spirit is moving. All over the world, like the prophet said it would be. All over the world, there's a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord, like the waters cover the sea. Ladies and gentlemen, Billy Brim. Isn't that good? She has such sweet, sweet songs. But that's what's happening all over the world. Amen. 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 Someone's legs, they're bothering you. Who's that? Okay. You too? Okay. Janet, you? Who else? Okay, will y'all come up here? Come up here. God's going to heal you right now. Right now. How about that? Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Your legs are bothering you. They're not going to bother you anymore. Huh? Yeah. Yours already getting better? Okay. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Where's Danny? Come on, girl. Thank you, Jesus. Deb, come on up here. Thank you, Lord. Ron, will you come, please? Were you okay to come, Ron? I know he just had a little something done there. Rolling, rolling, rolling. For those of y'all that haven't been around too long, these two guys right here are founding members of Victory Church. Bill, yeah. Bill used to, you know, that 940 thing? That was Bill's job way back when, and he prayed every week. And we're grateful for all your service and all your belief. So, you pray with us. Come on, Danny, Deb. We're going to pray. Now, immediately, when she touched his garment, she was healed.
Amen.
And that's where we're going today. So, point of contact. Yeah, I like that.
Thank you, Lord. I receive it.
Amen. Whew. Glory. Right here. All together, point of contact. Yeah, good receiving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Jesus.
To the very core. All the way to the core. We need your name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you all for praying. She says, hold on. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I heard someone's thoughts say, why does Pastor choose the people she chooses to lay hands on people? Well, this one is prayed up all the time. All the time, and carrying an anointing for it. Ron has a gift of deliverance. He people get spirits leave when he prays. Deb is also prayed up and carries a strong anointing. So if I choose you to come pray, you know I think you're flowing in God. Plus, I just do what God tells me to do.
Right.
Now, there's one more that needs it, and it's me.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Just like the woman in the position, she takes it.
I take it.
She takes it in the name of Jesus. She's touching the hem of his garment right now. The full download. The full download. The full download. I'm telling you, the full download. The manifested download. The very point where the nail went through. The very point where the nail went through is manifested in your body in the name of Jesus who took it.
Thank you,
and
Lord.
Gave it to you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Where's Art Jr.? Art, come around here where Deb is. The Lord's got a word for me from you.
Glory to God. The prophet, yes, but the apostle also. The great anointing passed down. Some didn't want it. Many didn't want it. But you take it, and you learn to love to want it. It's spiritually genetic, the Lord says. And it will energize the very cells of your being to go 30 years more in it. Strong, full of fervor and results, and the people who support you there would be like David's men. Many strong. Many strong. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Have something? Thank you, Lord. Yep, you got anything? Thank you, Lord. I receive that. I receive it. You have anything? Everybody good? Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Well, praise the Lord. We're healed. We're delivered. We're going to have a good spring and a good summer. We're going to have a good year, and looks like we're going to plant some churches. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's what apostles do. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, all hearts and minds clear. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors. In Jesus' name, amen.